Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Well, hallelujah. Thank you, worship team and tech team, for setting the stage. We are invited to continue the celebration of who God is and the goodness that He has invited us into. We step back for the month of April, and we observe the foolish and the wise Pharisee. We observe the foolish and the wise servants in Luke 19, the foolish and the wise criminals to the right and to the left of Jesus. And we wrapped up last week with the foolish and the wise disciples of Jesus. Now we come back to Proverbs saying, Lord, I need your wisdom. I don't want to be the fool. I want to be the wise, and I need your wisdom. Our text will come from Proverbs chapter 7. We will pick up exactly where we left off at the end of March, finishing up with Proverbs chapter 6. So if you're joining us today, we're glad that you're here. We've not picked this passage at random, but we are moving expositorily through the book of Proverbs. And the study will take a shift at the end of this month. At the end of May, we will finish up with Proverbs 9. And from Proverbs chapter 10 to 31, it's just kind of all over the place. And so it gives us the opportunity to break down the book of Proverbs into some more topical studies. So hope that you look forward to that. And today, as we dive into chapter 7, a lot of you will notice, well, this is a pretty familiar passage. So I'm not going to leave you wondering the whole service, is this the passage that a couple years ago I reached my hand down in a bag and a trap went off at the end of service? Yes, this is that passage. We're not going to relive that moment again, but we are going to approach this text from another angle. Back then, that was when we were studying the book of 2 Timothy. So today we're going to look at the same text in its context, but at another angle. And so let's say this again, because there's a lot of new faces that weren't even here a couple of months ago. Whenever we approach the subject of today's text, we want to remind you, go ahead and make that conscious decision that if something in this text triggers a hardship from your past, a choice that you've made or a choice that someone else made to hurt you in some way, that's not our intent. Our intent as a church is to not bring things back up and say, wow, look at this and wasn't that awful, and just keep throwing it in someone's face. Because the cross is a reminder that when we've confessed our sins to God, He has separated them as far as the east is from the west, and He never calls us to reach into the sea of His forgetfulness and resurrect something that He has forgiven and bring it back to life again and shake it around in our faces. So don't permit that to happen today. Amen? Well, let's go ahead and look at Proverbs 7. If you would, please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word, looking at the first five verses of Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words, treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart, and say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman and from the seductress who flatters with her words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we jump back into the book of Proverbs, we thank you that as our Father, you only want what is best for us as your children, so that we can continue to sing about it and we can let the wisdom of your word be stored up in our hearts and guide us throughout our lives, and especially when temptation knocks at the door and tries to rob us of the good intentions that you have as our Heavenly Father for our lives. We ask now that you would bless this, the reading and the preaching of your word, and that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth and throughout our day and our week from here on out. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the themes that we have continued to see throughout the book of Proverbs, chapter by chapter, almost every time, is the book of Proverbs shows us how to be intentional parents, how to be an intentional mom and dad. As this dad is being intentional here and saying to his son, I want wisdom. And the picture then is if we find ourselves hearing these words from our Heavenly Father, he is saying, it's our responsibility to receive the wisdom and to store it up, or to be like, I'm fine. I got this figured out. And so let me bridge this in this way. A lot of you have been out in the woods lately, and if you've been out in the woods hiking or turkey hunting or fishing or camping or whatever, if you've looked behind your house in the last 2 or 3 weeks, one of the things that you have seen a lot of is this huge change of growth in the woods. 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was like you could see, you know, for miles down through a holler. In the past 2 or 3 weeks, it's just like green has bursted up everywhere. New plants, new leaves, and just it, green is everywhere. But there's one plant in particular. It's neat that you're wearing green today. There's one plant in particular that is green and just blends in. And it's a plant that Jeremy and I mean, we can see this plant 10 miles away. When we're driving down Sweetwater and we look to the hangover, if there's a poison ivy plant, we see it. Because we know it's dangerous. It has the power to ruin our lives and ruin our week. And so we... If I am out and about with anybody, I always warn them of this plant. Every time me and my boys go to the woods this time of the year, I take them straight to a poison ivy plant, and I'm, look, you see that? Don't touch it. Stay away. It can not only ruin your day, it can ruin your whole week. It can send you to the doctor just full of itchy rashes. Some of you with me? All right, look, for the 0.001% of you that are anointed by God and you're not allergic to this, just bear with me, okay? It's just an illustration. It's an illustration. And so think about this with me. When you know this poisonous plant exists, and it's in the woods wherever you're going, one of the most loving and wise things that you can do is talk about it with your children or whoever's is going hiking with you. Don't you just think about this in three dimensions? This is going to kind of guide our text today. First of all, you want to make someone aware of it. You're not just born knowing about poison ivy. You want to make someone aware of it, because not knowing that it exists doesn't make it any less poisonous. Being unaware of it definitely doesn't change the fact that if you rub against it, those oils are going to get on you and your clothes, and it's just a disaster from there. Secondly, you want to help that person to identify and know what it looks like, to acknowledge it, so that, hey, if you see something with three leaves, in the middle leaf it stands out a little larger, and the stem where they kind of all three meet is typically kind of reddish, Don't just identify. I want you to say, hey, there's poison ivy over here. Stay away. And so me and the boys were digging ramps the other day. And every time we kind of moved to a different place in the holler, it was pretty fun. It got contagious. They're seeing it, and they're like, hey, it's right here. They're calling it out. Well, then the third thing, of course, what makes sense is then we avoid it. We want to go way around it. We want to avoid it at all costs. Well, earlier this week, I was mowing the yard, and I stopped. And right in front of our house, I began to look. And see, you don't really see it right here, but it's there. And I was like, oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you done left the woods and have come up to my house. And so I finished mowing, and see, this is like our hiding. This is one of the main spots we hide whenever we play hide and go seek around the house. And I made all three boys stand kind of right there in front of that flag, and I was like, there is something here that is threatening your lives. Looking for a snake. And then Jaden, our oldest son, who's 7, is like, I see it, it's right there. He knows. And so we went on over there, and there it is, exposed in all of its glory and shame. It's just right there. And a little while later, I went and put my hand in a plastic bag and began to pull it up. But just, you know, just kind of dangled it out there. And so the big idea when we read Proverbs 7, here is a dad pleading. He's saying, son, there's going to be times in your life when I'm not with you. You need to know what this looks like. And so when he gets to verse 5, he's saying, I've given you wisdom. And starting in verse 5, he said, I've made you aware that there's something poisonous out there. There's something out there that can ruin your day and ruin your life. It's immorality. And all we're doing as a church here is we're simply saying God has defined for us what is good and what is not good. God has defined what is moral and not moral. God has given us a standard. And when we're singing about his goodness, we're also acknowledging there's something poisonous out there. There's things that he wants to make us aware of so that when it's stored up and we step into life, like stepping into a wilderness full of just green, we can distinguish from what is poisonous from what is not poisonous. And so this dad begins to do that in verse 5. Continue reading with me in verse 6. I'm not going to put all the verses on the screen today. Just follow along or listen. But in verse 6, this dad says this. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice. And I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house, and in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night. Now think about this. This dad is saying, I'm giving you wisdom. I want to make you aware of what's immoral out there by pointing out to you a person who is totally unaware of where they're at and what they're doing. And so the dad is saying, look, let me paint a movie for you. I saw this guy who had no idea where he was. He had no idea what he was doing. He had no purpose. He was just kind of wandering aimlessly through the life. Can I just say, it's our desire as a church that when kids get raised up in this church, and whether they go to college or whether they go off to work, they know what they're doing. They have purpose. They know that God has a plan for their life. They don't have to just say one day, hey, What do you want to do later today? I don't know. Let's just go get into something. And they just kind of, you know, step out. You ever been there? You just kind of find yourself somewhere and you're just kind of wandering around. Well, this is true every time, isn't it? If we live life without purpose, something with an immoral purpose just seems to find us, doesn't it? Sometimes it's another person. Sometimes it's through the TV or through social media, but something in the realm of evil or poison wants to find us. And then he says this. I want you to notice that he just happened to pass by her path. He's just wandering through the woods and he happens to end up down a path full of poison ivy. Just happened. And he says, I want you to notice when this happened. It was in the evening. It was in the dark. It was whenever the light begins to go away and the snakes begin to come out, right? It's during a time whenever it would be best to be surrounded by light or people who walk in the light so they can help you see where you're going and what you're doing. So he just says, I want you to be aware of what this looks like. Now, look, again, if I had a daughter, I would want her to be see the person in the story that's kind of wandering around, maybe as a girl. And I would want her to see the immoral woman in the story, maybe as an immoral man, to try to paint this picture a little bit more for her. And so when we continue reading in verse 10. In verse 10 it says, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Now think about this for a moment. Now he's acknowledging what the poisonous plant looks like. It's not enough to just say, let me help you identify it. The word acknowledge kind of captures the idea of identifying something and then exposing it, calling it out for what it is. He is saying, son, when you encounter this person in your life, I'm not saying for you to make a scene, kind of like when we're walking through the woods and we're like, hey, there it is, everybody avoid this. But I want you to acknowledge it in such a way that you know what it is and you know to move out of the way, because it's only going to lead to no good. And so he says, notice in verse 10, she's intentionally dressed this way. When she went and bought her clothes, she knew exactly what she was buying. She tried it on and she understood exactly how revealing it was. And she did this with intention and purpose. In other words, when that guy who thinks you're cute posted that picture of himself all over the social media flexing and doing his thing, he's trying to just get your attention. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to see if you'll send him a private message later. This was well thought out. It wasn't by surprise. I want you to think about this. In the springtime, the poison ivy looks like this in the top left corner. But as summer goes on and fall begins, it begins to stand out. It begins to pop with color. It begins to become very noticeable, and it actually looks really pretty, doesn't it? And don't let the winter poison ivy fool you, because I used to think, well, sun and winter, I can't get that stuff. Well, then I grabbed a hold of a vine and rubbed it all up and down my arm one time. And, well, that proved to not be true. This stuff is poisonous year-round. It's hideous. And so in heaven, I'm going to put it on my salad and eat it, though. But until then, we're going to stay away. And so notice it begins to pop out. And so can I just say this in the most loving and kind way? The weather's getting warmer, and you know, we're all going to start going to the lake and go to the beach, and all that's cool. And this is that time of the year whenever, you know, maybe we're proud we've been working out all winter long, right? And so it's that time of the year whenever, let me just put it this way, as the church, we don't have to get ourselves acknowledged by the way we present ourselves when we're out and about swimming or going throughout our day. Let the affirmation we already have from our Heavenly Father, just like you are, be your affirmation. Amen. We don't have to try to get the attention of someone else. And here is this dad pleading. He says, look, come summertime, this stuff is popping out, and this is what she's dressed like. Verse 11 and 12 tell us this. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home, and at times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. Son, I want you to know she's an attention getter. He is trying to specifically impress you as a single young lady. She wants you to notice she's there, so she's going to make sure that she is heard. And then he says, look, who's out at the square? Everybody. Older people, younger people, married couples, people with children. And he's saying, I want you to acknowledge this. She doesn't care. She doesn't care if she turns the eyes of a husband, of another lady. She doesn't care if she catches the attention of young children. She doesn't care about what's morally or immorally appropriate or not. She's out to be heard. He's out to be seen, lurking around at every corner. Verse 13 says, and so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face, she says something to him. I have peace offerings with me. Today I've paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. Now, you think about what just happened. She went to first base, as we used to say it, really fast. There was no, hey, let's get to know each other. Let's just, you know, let's kind of see where this goes. She just said, you stepped up to bat. We're going to first base. You hit a single. Good job. And she grabs a hold of him. She's triggering his senses. She's stimulating a response. And she's just saying, this is where my heart and my affections are, and I just met you. He's saying, son, I want you to acknowledge that's not how it works. If you're wanting to wait on a godly man or a godly woman, this isn't how you go about it. I want you to learn this at a young age or be reminded of this at an older age. If you dress immorally, you're going to attract immoral people. If you go to places at the wrong time by yourself with no aim, this is kind of where you can end up. And so he says, then he says this, she makes him feel like the man. You know, he just kind of left the house that day wandering around. Maybe I'll go play video games. Maybe I'll go find some buddies to hang out with. I don't really know what I'm going to do. And she says, I found you. You've who I've been looking for. I've been dreaming about you. I've been thinking about you. Text messaging wasn't invented back then. I would have texted you, but it ain't happened. It's still a few thousand years down the road. And so he feels like the most wanted man on planet Earth, when in fact, he's what? He just happened to be at her corner at the time that she was looking. And then she says in verse 16, I've spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him, and will come home on the appointed day. So now think about all that she shared. First, she said she made her peace offerings. In other words, he says, I go to church. Hey, did you celebrate Easter last month? Oh, yeah, man. Me and my whole family, we went to church. We love Jesus. She can talk the religious talk. He knows how to quote John 3:16. It's not that hard. And he can probably also quote, judge not lest you be judged. That's pretty popular these days. And so this immoral person knows how to put on a religious face. But she says, here's my intent. My bed's ready. It looks good. It smells good. And it's just, I actually was planning on meeting you out here, and I finally found you. I wasn't looking for anyone else. That's a lie. And then she says this, we won't get caught. She paints this picture. The immoral person is painting this picture, kind of like the poison ivy is in disguise. You'll never see me. It's just, I kind of blend in with everything else. I'm kind of right there in your little hide and go seek spot. And the immoral person paints this picture. Really, what God thinks has nothing to do with it. The person I'm committed to, I'm actually not committed to, so don't worry about that. And so she says, look, you can have all of me, but without the commitment. Isn't that what the world really wants? The world really wants everyone to kind of shy away from this big holy matrimony ceremony kind of thing and just step away from the commitment. Don't sign your name to it. It'll save you so much money down the road. And just do the one-night thing and then be done. And she says, don't worry about it. And we pause here and we say, okay, I've acknowledged exactly what is going on and what is on her mind. She has triggered all the senses. See, touch, taste, smell, feel. She's triggered all the senses. Now he says this. We get to verse 24. In verse 24, he says, I want you to avoid this at all costs. I'm telling you what I saw in the life of someone else, but I'm telling it to you for wisdom so that when this day comes, because this day is going to come and this day is going to keep coming, I wish every time I pulled the poison ivy up out of our bushes, it would just never come back again. Don't you wish that one time you had a lustful thought and you confessed it to Jesus, that it would just never, no kind of bad thought would ever, ever come back again? He says, look, this day is coming. You really can't avoid it, but what you can do when it comes is actually avoid it. Avoid the immorality at all costs. In verse 24, he says this, now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pause right there and look at what happened in verse 23. Till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. He says, this is why I want you to avoid it. He didn't see it coming. He yielded. He was seduced. He gave in. He went to the slaughterhouse. He didn't stay to come. And this is what we're communicating as a church. All of us knew growing up, just say no, right? Just don't do it. Just go away. But the title of the message today is Wisdom to Know When to Say No. The scriptures are telling us this. God wants us to understand your life matters. Every detail of your life, the purpose of your life, the plans of your life. He has plans for you. Psalm 139 says, more in number than the sands of the sea. And he says, the reason I want you to say no is because your life matters. Don't worry right now that you're not getting all the attention that he is or that she is. Don't worry right now that you're not this big standout like him or her, because that's not what life is all about. Your life is all about him. You were created for his glory, and he wants to do things in your life so good and so amazing that you will celebrate it forever. Now let's pause here for a second, and let's just say, you know what? This is a reality that in the world that we live in today. And we could step into her shoes and just say, you know what? Something happened and her marriage got in trouble. I don't know when it was, but it was prior to this moment. Her marriage got in trouble and it long before she got to this moment. And as a church, we want to say this. We want to reach people, reach marriages before they ever get to this point. We serve the God who writes rescue stories. He calls people out of darkness and into the light. And so we want to be a church that builds real relationships, not superficial ones, not, hey, how are you doing and what have you been up to, but relationships that can talk about real issues before it ever gets here. And then whenever it does, if it's gotten to this place, if someone is going through a divorce or they're going through a hard time, as a church, we're here to say we want to meet you where you are. We're not here to beat up and say, man, here's all the things that you did wrong. We want to meet you where you are, because we can read a text like this and think, wow, that's pretty hopeless for him and for her. But actually, we want to remember the story of Rahab. Remember Rahab when she was in Jericho and she heard about what God was doing through his people. We want people to hear about what God is doing through his church. We want to remember the woman that Jesus talked to at the well, who had five husbands and the man she was with wasn't even him or any one of them. He met her where she was and her life was changed. I want to remember Mary Magdalene whenever I think about these people. And she had seven demons and she probably had a life of prostitution. And remember that the person themselves aren't the poison. The person isn't the poison, just like the whole plant isn't the poisonous part. It's just the oils on the plant. The person, whether the man or the woman, has begun serving the poisonous one, the evil one, Satan, the enemy of God. And we're just here to share the gospel and to show the love of Jesus and to say, look, I can't go home with you, but I can invite you to know him. He'll go home with you and he'll tell you about his love and his grace that can save you. And so the dad now says, look, when this day comes and you find yourself wondering and you don't know what to do, just like encountering the poison ivy patch in the woods, I want you to avoid it at all costs. And then he says this in verse 25, so powerful on how we avoid this. He says, do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. It's interesting that we live in a world that really teaches everyone to always play the victim, to always make excuses and to always say, I couldn't help it and then this happened and he made me do it and she made me do it. And so we're not acknowledging, or we're not saying that there's not influencers, right? But we are as a church saying biblically, according to the word of God, there's a big difference in an influence in the actual choice that someone makes. Because we don't want to help people be victims, because Jesus didn't play the victim card. He says, look, we have the choice to let our heart turn aside to her ways and stray down her path. We also have the choice with our heart to totally avoid this. We have the choice to avoid what we post and what we look at and the music that we listen to and the things that we play on TV and the places that we go and the people that we hang out with. We have the choice. He says, don't let your heart turn to her ways. And so he says in verse 26, she, what you need to know about the guys that are like her and the women that are like her, she has cast down many wounded. And all who were slain by her were strong men. They were confident men. They were confident individuals. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. He says again, your life matters to God. And so because a life matters to God, a life matters to us as a church. We're here to say, come know Jesus and come know life, and let's share life together. And if you find yourself going down this path, call us, text us, reach out to us. You're not alone. We want to be a church people that don't just say it with our words, but show it with our actions. And we know we can do that best when we have a relationship. But here's how we're going to close. Jesus, wisdom himself, gave us one more way to attack this. God's wisdom is also a guide to attack the immorality at the root, at the heart. Now, I want you to think of this. If I asked you before we read Luke 6:45, if I asked you, hey, what's the difference between a weed eater and weed killer, weed poison? You'd think about it for a second and you would say, oh, yeah. The weed eater just trims off what's on the surface. The weed eater it cuts the grass around the edges, but we all know it's going to grow back. It's going to grow back. It just makes everything look good. Whereas the weed killer gets to the root. The weed killer gets down to the source. The weed killer is an outside source that gets down to the source of your heart and my heart whenever these things are there. And Jesus said, that is where lust begins. It's in the heart. So I want you to think of this. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, the place where we're trying to store up the treasures of wisdom. He says, he brings forth good, because there's treasure there. But an evil man out of the evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil. And he says, look, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth is often a good indicator. Actually, this came up just about a month ago in one of your sermons, that the mouth becomes this indicator for really what's going on down here. When I get away with my friends, when I get alone, what's really going on down here? Well, here's what's so fun about the world that we live in, and we're tempted every day to just fill ourselves with evil things. We're tempted every day to let things that we want, or money, or music, or things that we don't have, or what's popular on Netflix, or what's popular for the children these days, to kind of just fill us and consume us. And this is Jesus' way of saying, all along the way, there's little images that are feeding into your brain. And because I or you or we can invest so much time into those things, those little images are getting stored up. And he's saying, look, I want you to have wisdom to know what's best for your kids and what's not best. I want you to have wisdom to know what's best for your ears and best for your eyes and what's not best. Because I want wisdom stored up so that good and wisdom is coming out. And so what's fun is the other day whenever this happened. And I told you, I got off the lawnmower. I showed the poison ivy to the boys. And then eventually went and got a plastic bag and went over there and grabbed it. I want you to look at this. It's not a trap, but I'm going to grab the tape. That's just after one day, or maybe 2 days. But just think of that for a second. Sometimes the immorality isn't another person that's just texting us or calling us or trying to meet us at the corner. Sometimes it's just happening right here because we're letting things in here and it's being stored up right here. But just think of this. In plucking this poison ivy up from the root, you look how pitiful it begins to look. By taking away its lifeline, by taking away its source, by taking away its nutrients, it begins to dry up. In a couple of days, I could come back and just grab all over this thing, and it wouldn't even affect me at all because the poison, the oils, are all dried up. And here's the picture. When we are confessing our sins to Jesus and we're saying, Lord, I don't just want to be the church guy or the church girl and just go and praise the Lord. When we really step back and remember Judas, and we think what Ben said last week, that Judas was actually a person that followed Jesus the whole time. He did the Jesus thing for 3.5 years, right? And really, when it really got down to it, no one, Jesus said, one of you has betrayed me. And everybody wasn't like, oh, it's that guy. Man, I've saw his heart. It's just vicious. No one knew. Because Judas had learned to put on a face. Judas had learned to put on the Jesus, do the Jesus thing, but really never have a change of heart. What we're wanting to do as a church is say, Lord, I want wisdom in my heart. Because I know when wisdom has been stored up in my heart and you're changing me, the lifeline of the poison of sin that you died for, that's trying to grow within me and within you, is cut off. It has no root here. And you can say, and I can say to God, evil and immorality is not going to grow in my life, because when it starts springing up, we're going to deal with it. We're going to cut it off at the source. And that all makes sense to what Jesus said in Luke 6:45. He said, look, blessed, happy, fortunate are the pure in heart. For the people that want to just continue to evaluate their heart, he says, here's what's going to happen in their life. Here's what we want the immoral man, the immoral woman to know. This is what we want the simple young man or the simple, the naive and the vulnerable to know. And this is what we want to keep reminding ourselves of. I want to see God in my day, because God wants you and me to see him in our day. He wants us every day to say, wow, I saw God in my day. I said no to the immoral things because I first said yes to seeing God in my day. That makes life full and worth living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is here that we ask you again and again, because only you can. We thank you that you are the source who can, that you can get down to our hearts, and that you can pluck up any root of immorality or lust or bitterness or hate or unforgiveness that's trying to grow. And we thank you that you want to do that, because you have plans of good for our lives. Plans not to harm us, not to bring evil against us, but plans to bring us about your will. Thank you that you have purposes, eternal purposes for our lives. And we thank you, God, that you have given us promises. Promises to wade through life with us. Promises that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Promises that you and you alone are the source who can purify us again and again. And we can be a people that see you. We can be a people that know you. We can be a people that have smiles on our face and sing these songs, because of who you are and what you continue to do in our lives. Let that be true of the church today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.